Well, friends, it's 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and with that, good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us today for worship. If you are new to our worship, then a special word of welcome to you. I will get to some of the names just now, but Moya is also with us, as you've seen, and some have already mentioned that she was at sea, but she's back. She's in the room. Hello, Moya.
Good morning, all.
And it's good to be with you. Let's have a quick look at the names that are with us that have reached out with comments. Sally is with us, and let me just try to go back. Lily is with us, Sue, Allison, Tamar, Sheila, Elaine, and Alan. I see that it's nippy in Livingston. I hope that you have enough blankets over there. It's certainly it's May, but we still have March's weather. And then Douglas is with us. Welcome, Douglas. Welcome, Heather. Elaine Tennant and Suzanne are with us. Welcome to you, Jean, Margaret, and Bill. To Margaret, to Iris May, to Janet, Nancy, to Kate, Caitlin and Liz, to Sandra, to Lorraine and the other Robertsons all the way from Perth in Australia. It's grand to have you with us there from the western end of Australia. Thank you for joining us for worship today. Good morning and welcome to you, Kathleen, and to Harry and Helen, to Anne, to Ian, to Mark, to Ian, to Chris, to Jess, Sue, to Stuart, Julie, to Margot, to Roddy, Liz, to Anne, and to June, to George and Nettie, Willie, Andy, David, Jean, Denise, morning, welcome friends, Paddy, Douglas, Margaret, Isabel, you, Elaine, Sandra, to John, to Jim and Allison, to Sandy, Iris and Jim, to Allison, and to Moira, and Elaine, Catherine, thank you for joining us, you are most welcome. And if you are with us without a comment, then also welcome to you. If you listen to this during the week or if you watch this video later on, it's good to have you with us. Maybe one note on those present and those absent. Thank you for those who have sent me emails or notes to say that they will be joining their own in-person services at 11 today, but they hope to join us later for the recording. Thank you for being with us for more than a year, and we wish you every blessing. And thank you for remaining with us, and you are more than welcome. Remember, when you're up north, then please drop in, say hello, and it would be good to meet you in the flesh. That would be grand, or in person. Maybe that sounds a little bit better than in the flesh. Friends, welcome. And if you have joined us from circumstances that are not that bonny, we hope that you will find a sense of peace and calm during this time of shared worship. We start on a happy note. We would like to congratulate one and all celebrating birthdays. And with that, we remember John's birthday. Now, John listens to these services afterwards, and his birthday was last week, Tuesday, past Tuesday. But then a very special happy birthday to you, Elizabeth. And thank you to Emma, who shared the news and shared news about your birthday. Elizabeth, to you, happy birthday. We hope that it is a fantastic day, that you are absolutely spoiled. And to you and everyone celebrating a birthday today, about to celebrate one this coming week, or celebrated one this past week, we would like to sing our happy birthday song. And with that, our very best wishes. Happy birthday to you. May God's love grow in you. May the Lord bless and keep you in all that you do. May His praise be your song as the year goes along. May His love and His mercy keep your heart from all wrong. Happy birthday once again, And also congratulations if you are celebrating something else, maybe a special day, maybe an anniversary, or maybe just the memory of something wonderful that happened on this day sometime in the past. We share in your happiness. This is now also the time when we think about the worship, we think about those that are not celebrating today, those that may just need this reminder. God is with us. He will not fail us. He's the faithful one. And He has promised to keep His eye and His hand over us. Let's take a moment to pause as we reflect and just set the scene for our time. That we would like to welcome those that have joined us subsequent to the first words of welcome. I've seen that Margaret is with us, and also Elizabeth and Gail has joined us, and best wishes to my sister. This is one of the wonderful things that we can just have a wee blether here in between and meet up. And Kay has also now joined us from Cambridge, New Zealand. That's even further afield. Kay, it's wonderful to have you as part of our live worship again. I know that with the changes of the clocks on both sides of the planet, that you are now still on your way to bed, but this is maybe a better hour than during our summer. And then Chris reached out to Kay and Margaret. Margaret, you will once again forgive me for not reading this wonderful Gaelic message to everyone. It's there, and you can read that if you are fluent in Gaelic and would like to share in Margaret's words. Our call to worship today from Psalm 95, where we read, "Come, let us sing to the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand." A reminder that there's a very special relationship between us and God, something that we celebrate during worship. We are kent faces. We are known to God, and therefore we are welcome in His presence. He set this appointment, and we are in His presence for His beauty and His pleasure. Please join me as we begin to sing our first hymn today, "There is a Redeemer." And if you are in the position to sing along, let's give it all we have. There is a Redeemer, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, Lord.
your Son and leaving us your Spirit, oh, your work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, once for sinners slain. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Spirit, oh, your work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Spirit, oh, your work on earth is done.
Now I would like to invite you to pray with me as we come before and in the presence of God. Let us take a moment and join me as we pray together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you made us your children. You adopted us into your household. You are a God of community. And you bring us together week by week from different places and from different circumstances. One body, one people, your people. In our relationship with you, we discover again and again, no one is more special than the rest. You love us and welcome us. Your presence is inviting to one and all. You don't ask us for a negative test result. You don't require a resume. You don't even need us to say that we were good this week. Each of us is treasured, treasured in your hand, treasured as part of your community, your body, your people. Christ Jesus, you are our Lord, you are our teacher. We come each week longing to learn more about you, wanting to be more like you. You engage us on an individual and also on a group level, helping us to understand better, helping us to live our lives the way we were meant to live them. Engaging Holy Spirit of God, you find us wherever we are, at home, at work, out shopping. And wherever we are, you engage with us. You have time for each of us, enough, more than enough for each of us. Bless us today with an understanding of God's unconditional grace and mercy. Our Father, we confess that oftentimes we fail spectacularly and end up letting you down, letting our neighbor down. We pray that you will pick us up from those moments, that you will teach us afresh what it means to live in you and through you, to be a community of believers. Pick us up, dust us down, and set us back on the right track, we pray. Come now through your Holy Spirit and guide us in our thoughts, to inform our words and our actions. Grant us an understanding. Give us courage to be more than spectators and listeners. Enthuse us to be your faithful witnesses wherever we are. Grant that we would be witnesses of your unconditional welcome to one and all. This we pray in the wonderful name of our King, Messiah and Lord, Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray together the words we find on the screen as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, just to have another look at those who have joined us, to say welcome to you. Welcome to you, Maria, and to Anne, to Mary, to Norma. Yeah, both of you join us from Nairn. It's wonderful to have you with us today. You are most welcome. Friends, we have two readings for today and a reference to a number of readings. And Moya is giving me an indication here. We will get to that. Sorry. Moya is reminding me that we need to sing, and we shall sing. But just in advance, we will have two readings and a reference to a number. If you have a Bible there or thereabout, I would like to invite you to read with me. We have it on the screen, but sometimes there's something special in just having that Bible on your lap and being able to open it and just to read it in your own Bible. In the meantime, maybe while you fetch your Bible, let's sing the hymn. And we sing from hymn number 458 in CH4, At the Name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. The Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. In your hearts enthrone him, then let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Let his grace support you in temptation's hour, and his will enfold you in its light and power. In his Father's glory, Christ shall come again, angel host proclaiming his return to reign. For all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory. Welcome to you, Moira. I've just seen that you have joined us, and it's good to have you with us. Welcome. Friends, now for the two readings, and we turn first of all to the Gospel according to John. We are going to read in chapter 15, the first 8 verses, and then after that from Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 from verse 26 to 40. First of all, however, we read from the Gospel according to John, and we read there, chapter 15 from verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And then from Acts chapter 8, I beg your pardon, I think I said chapter 10, too earlier, chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer, its silence. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns, until he reached Caesarea. Now I would like to go back here and just focus your attention on something peculiar, and we'll get back to this in due time. We've read in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? And then I didn't skip a verse here, but the next verse is 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. It seems like there's something missing there. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. We'll get back to that missing verse in due time. But first of all, the Olympic Games was moved from last year to this year. And I've had another look at the qualification standards. I've always wanted to compete in the Olympics. I don't know about you, but there's just something so romantic about the Olympics. We would spend hours watching the swimming and the 5-meter dive board and the athletics and the marathon and so many other sports. But we know that for each and every one of them, there's a qualifying standard that you have to meet just to be considered good enough to come to the Olympic Games. Now, truth be told, I've tried again and again and again, but there is simply nothing that I can qualify for. Matter of fact, this year, without spectators being allowed in, I'll still be behind the telly, watching the screen, flipping the channel. That will be my Olympics, if the Olympics still continues this year. Qualifying standards, big hurdle. The same is true of any number of organizations or groups. If you join the group, they would often give you the laws and the bylaws and the rules and the regulations. It sounds a lot like COVID, doesn't it? Always a lot of rules and regulations. Stand so far and do this and behind your mask and in and out and all the rest of it. Question. The same true of church? Is church also an organization or a group of people with rules and regulations and laws and bylaws? A number of people would say yes, definitely. A number of people would say, well, we have rules about clothing. We have rules about standing and sitting. We have rules about kneeling. You're not allowed this, you should be doing that. Have you ever considered if you're not an athlete and you don't really have the ability to meet that standard? How debilitating that standard must sound if you've always wanted to go to church, to join church. Maybe you can't attend an 11 o'clock worship service. Maybe you work shifts. Maybe you are caring for someone and as a result you have to be at home. How would it be if we could dispose of the qualifying standards? Ever thought about that? I would like to leave that thought with you as we sing our next hymn. Be still for the presence of the Lord. And that is 189 from CH4. And we sing three verses. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found, we stand of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. There are a number of things that we have learned over the last year. And as measures are beginning to be relaxed in our part of the world, I'm still curious as to how life would be after the storm. A number of people readily accept that life will never be the same after the storm as it was before the storm. There are a number of things that I'm really looking forward to. Also a number of things that I'm a little bit apprehensive about. A number of uncertainties that I would dearly like to be resolved, but they will only be resolved once we know where things are going. One of the things of late that has really sort of stuck in my earworm, is how our views of people have changed in the last 14 months. Consider this. Edinburgh Airport, Aberdeen Airport, Glasgow Airport, Inverness Airport, Heathrow, London, City Airport, those were the places where we went to fly out on holidays, to meet friends we haven't met before, to meet with strangers who became friends overnight, whether this was in Malaga or in Greece, whether this was in South America or the Far East. But over the last 14 months, a number of these people who would formerly have been unknown friends have become our enemies. They are carriers of the virus. They need to stay home. We need to shut our borders, shut them out. Not only that far, but even closer, within the Union, the United Kingdom. Formerly we had family and friends down south in Englandshire, but now they've become enemies. We don't want them around our village, our town. They are incomers, they're strangers. Even within one country, people from another local council or county have become part of the unwanted incomers, strangers, bearers of the virus, carriers of the death. Why is that? What has happened with us? And can we reasonably expect to go back to a time when that was not true, as it is not true, but for some or other reason, we are led to believe that it is true? I'm not going to enter into the dynamics of that. What does this have to do with our reading from Acts? Well, the answer is everything. For see, that man that traveled from Africa, from what would today be known as Sudan, from Ethiopia, as it was known in the first century, which is Sudan today, he was no stranger to being called and treated as a stranger, a foreigner, an enemy. Matter of fact, we read that although he went to Jerusalem to worship, we know that very little of that could actually play out. There are, after all, laws and legislation that regulated access to the temple. When we read in the Old Testament pieces of scripture like we find in Deuteronomy 23 verse 1, we find there a very direct reference to say that these people are not welcome. A eunuch, a man from Ethiopia called Cush in the Old Testament, they're not welcome to come into the temple yard. And therefore we know from archaeology that during the time of Jesus, these people had a warning that was posted on the entrance to the temple precinct. You are not allowed to come beyond this point. If you do, you shall not only be persecuted, but killed. This man was no stranger to being called and treated a foreigner, a stranger, an enemy. But things changed. It changed in a dramatic way. And to understand that, two other sections of scripture can really inform us. Now, we don't have the time to read that. If we had the time, then that would have taken us to tea time, and we're not going to do that. It's maybe something that you can do in the meanwhile, tonight or this afternoon or tomorrow. The first is, if we read in Psalm 72, we read there the expectation that one day, people from all nations and all stations, people from all walks of life will be welcome to worship God. There will be free access to anyone and everyone. When we read in Acts chapter 2, to 12, we see how this message of Jesus Christ, the message that God loves people, that God cares deeply about everyone and anyone, how that permeated the world, and it started in Jerusalem and it spread wider and wider and wider. There was opposition to it, but there was a new king in town. His name was Christ Jesus. And then two other pieces of scripture that comes to mind is the one that the eunuch read in Isaiah 53, and the other one is Isaiah 56. You will have to rewind the recording just to get a list of all those scriptures again. In short, this is what happens. In Isaiah 56, the Lord promised there is this vision of hope that one day the eunuchs will be welcome as the foreigners will be welcome, and there will be no restriction to worship the Lord. For the Lord is everyone's Lord. He's an inviting and a welcoming God. And His access cannot be regulated by human beings. God sent His Son to actually bridge the divide between law and gospel. The law that regulated and the gospel that invites and welcomes. And this is the message that Philip in all likelihood shared with this man. It's a peculiar scene of Philip running in the middle of the day with his trainers alongside this carriage from this very senior official. And it must have stirred up a number of thoughts in the people that just saw this play out. But for this man, his world changed in a moment. As he read Isaiah 53, the story about the servant who suffered and changed everything to allow chapter 56 to come to fruition, the open invitation to come to the Lord, he didn't know what he was to make of that. He was still longing for that because he was treated as a foreigner, as a stranger, an enemy. And then Philip broke good news to him. He told him about Jesus. He told him about Jesus being God's incarnate love, a love that God has for the whole of the planet and the cosmos, for everyone, without strings attached. No qualification standard required. You, Mr. Unique, you are loved. God cares deeply about you, and He wants to welcome you in His presence, and He wants me to tell you just that. And that's where the 37th verse occurred. See, when people in the first 2-3 centuries read this story and reflected on this story, they said, we need qualifying standards here. And therefore, if you read the King James translation, it will still say that Philip told the eunuch, if you confess that Jesus is the Lord, that's fine, you can be baptized. But the oldest copies that we have of the Bible, they do not include that qualification standard. Philip said, this is the good news. And nothing bars you from being accepted because God welcomes you, whoever you are. Whatever you have done or haven't done, there's no qualification standard. I can understand that the believers from the second and third centuries wanted to create a bit of a hurdle there. It sounds just too simple. There must be more. The answer is, there is nothing more. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about that apart from appreciating that and embracing that. And that's the welcome that God would like to extend again to you today. Is there something that happened in the past? Is there something that happened in the last week? Is there something that makes you feel unworthy? Something that makes you feel, well, you will never meet the qualifying standard. God is not Santa Claus. You don't have to be good enough and lie about it. He knows everything. But in spite of that, He still wants to welcome you into His presence. And therefore, the invitation is extended unconditionally. Come to me, said the Lord. Come to me and bring your burdens. Leave them with me. I would like to embrace you. I would like to share my love with you. And I want my followers to tell you just that. Have you ever felt not good enough? Have you ever felt that you can't meet the qualifying standard? Here's the good news. Jesus met the qualifying standard. And we can follow in His footsteps. And we qualify through Him, not through our own doing. May that be a good news message to you, wherever you are today. Whatever your situation might be today. And now, please join me as we pray together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is filled with qualifying standards. We live in a world where we often hear, you're not good enough. We live in a world where we often hear, because of this or that issue that you have, you cannot, you dare not, you shall not. Often that leaves us anxious or alone, uncertain. But you've cleared all of that now. You've taken that away because in Christ Jesus, our King, our Messiah, our Lord, you have unconditionally spoken words of love and acceptance. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for embracing us and taking us in, but also for your general welcome and invitation to all to come to you. We pray for everyone who's hurt and through a stare felt unwelcome or pushed out. We pray for every person marginalized or cast aside through the words or actions of individuals or groups. We pray for those who find life hard. We pray that they may find some clear way through the difficulties they face, whether the difficulties be random or self-induced. We pray for those for whom life is full of hurtful words and nastiness. May people learn to be less hurtful and less nasty. We pray for those who fear, live in constant fear, or have terrible conditions resulting in anxiety or anxiousness. We pray that they will see a way through that. Lord, we hold up the invisibles before you, those who live in the shadows, those who feel unworthy, better not be seen. We hold them up in our prayers before you. We pray for those caught up in conflict situations. May they find a way to peace. May they find in you the Prince of Peace. We pray for those for whom life is tiring and ghastly, those suffering from physical or psychological or even spiritual malaise. May respite from the toil they experience be found in your love and the support of those around you, around them. Father, and then we pray for ourselves. We pray that we, your people, wherever we are, may find a renewal in our relationship with you. May we be more sensitive. May we always seek ways to reach out like Philip and to follow the prompting of the Spirit to bring the good news wherever it is required. Help us to learn to walk in another's shoes. Through that, give us understanding of their situations before we are so quick to judge. May we be channels of your love and peace, people eager to love other people, people eager to accept and embrace the stranger as you so often did. May we strive to understand rather than to be understood. Lord, and when the opportunity is there, may we share your good news without fear or favor. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we conclude with a hymn that speaks about building a house. Now, I think we can see this as a house without walls. It's a word about community, a community of welcome. But let's rather sing it. I don't have to preach it. It is number 198 in CH4, Let Us Build a House.
Faith and vault of grace, yea, the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word. Build of tears and cries of laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Friends, and now let us go from here, from this online worship, to be a friend to the stranger in our midst. May we show and share the love of God unconditionally, as God has done that himself towards us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be with you and those you love forever. Amen.
As we travel from this place, may the love of Jesus keep us firm in hope and full of grace. May we walk the way for us, knowing Jesus will be there, and our Father's love will keep us ever in his tender care.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. I'm quickly going to go back to that list of names. Let's quickly rewind here and just catch up on some of these. I'm back here from about here. Isabel, thank you for joining us today. And Moira and Evelyn, also from Nairn. Christine from Ayrshire. Agnes to Anne to Helen. And then also to Mary, to Iris May, to Sue, thank you for your comments. Glad you enjoyed that hymn about the building. I think it's that one that you made reference to, Ethel. Thank you for your comments. And to you too, Moira, and Margaret and Bill, to Maureen, to Dot, thank you so much. Thank you, Sally. Thanks, Moya. Sally is glad that Moya has dry feet. Well, I think so is she. The water is freezing. Thank you, Maureen and Ian and Alison. Thank you, Caitlin and Liz. Thank you so much for joining us. And once again, happy birthday. Elizabeth, Jean, Margaret, Margot, Iris and Jim, Heather, Ken and Margaret, Anna, Eric, and Marion, Bob and Anne, think you're in Kinross, to Denise, Sandy. Oh, Sandy, this is beautiful. I now know I am an unqualified success, and so you are. We all are. Thank you, June and Andy. Thank you, Kathleen, Jess. Thank you, Sheila, Tamar, and Moira, who joined us today. Thank you, David, Sandra, Sue, Willie, Allison, and Helen, Ian, and Moira, to Elaine, Ellen, Lily, Sally, Jim and Allison, Mary. Friends, thank you for your comments and messages. My apologies, I'm looking down because I'm following it here on the screen. And thank you for that. Thank you for reaching out, and thank you for your kind words, and for sharing worship with us. That, after all, is why we are here. Thank you, Mary and Anne Mace and Helen and Harry. Thank you so much for your comments. And now for a sip of coffee. Thank you, Douglas. Well, and Douglas, two Douglases. Thank you very much. And thank you, George and Nettie. Hope that you are doing well. And George, maybe you can just share with us, are your tomatoes in and underway? I know that Bill and Margaret are also working away at the veggie patch, and a number of other people. So I know, Douglas, that you've had your tatties in a while ago, so you can maybe just report back on the growth there. Thank you, Gina, for your comments. And thank you for being with us today. That is grand. Thank you so much. More coffee. Would like to echo the words from Douglas, who said the church should always be a place where all are welcome. I know, but we need to work on that constantly and remind people that you are welcome. Thank you, Kate. Thank you for your comments. And to Roddy Liz, thank you. Thank you so much. Stuart, missed last week. And Stuart, I hope that you and Julie are doing well as the youngsters. Every blessing to you. Friends, I think that's us for this week. Thank you once again for joining us today. I wish you well. I wish you a good week. Take care. Every blessing to you. Let me just get to that final screen. Moya will play us out. And with that, goodbye and God bless.